All right. So we are recording and I'm going to get started. So I'm going to share my screen with all of you. And all that means is you will see the PowerPoint presentation I have, and you'll also still be able to see my video. So you should all be seeing my lovely PowerPoint, and we'll get started. So, as you've heard already, our presentation today is all about shopping for healthy and affordable foods at the grocery store. So this is called our Cooking Matters at the Store tour. And I am a Maine SNAP Ed nutrition educator, and our whole goal is to help people shop, cook, and eat healthy on a budget. And that's a picture of me, as you can see. I like that one. And really quickly, I just wanted to share the goals for today. We'll start by learning about how to use MyPlate as a guide to shopping, which, as you'll learn, MyPlate is the USDA nutrition recommendations. We'll talk a lot about purchasing fruits and vegetables on a budget. And then quickly, we'll go over comparing unit pricing at the store and reading nutrition facts labels, which are two really great ways to pick healthier foods and more affordable foods. We'll also talk about identifying whole grains when you're shopping. And the overarching theme is to save money while grocery shopping. So those are our goals, but I also hope to sort of personalize it as questions come up to really help you all learn what you're interested in figuring out today. So my first question, which I would love to have people answer this in the chat, what are some ways that you already save money while shopping at the grocery store? Because I know I'll be sharing a lot of tips, but we all shop at the grocery store probably every week or maybe once a month. So we all already probably have some tips we can share about ways to save money. So I'm gonna look at the chat and just take a minute to think, and then I'll share some details. So I see Vicky says she uses coupons, great. Beverly said unit prices, flyers, what's on special and coupons, and buying what is on sale. Any other tips? Those are all good. You're gonna give me less things to talk about, which is great. Oh, here's a good one from Kathy. Look for deals and rewards at the grocery store on your grocery store app and use coupons and a list and look at sales for more savings. And Joanna says that grocery stores have reward points. Excellent. Well, thank you all. I'm gonna flip through my slides, but I think you hit most of the kind of big tips of ways to save money. So the first one I wanted to highlight is those local store reward programs. So Hannaford, Shaw's, and Walmart all have some sort of store reward program. I know I use the Hannaford reward program and get coupons, and sometimes you just get free things. So that's a really good one to key into. And then another thing people mentioned a lot, which is a great way to save money, is checking the weekly sale flyer. So one thing I like to do is look at what's on sale before I decide what I'm going to buy or what meals I'm going to make that week. So if a certain protein is on sale, maybe I'll decide I'm going to buy a large amount of that to kind of plan my meals for the week. So checking that weekly sale flyer. And then this tip is one of my favorites because it's really easy, and I think sometimes people have a loyalty to certain name brand products, but I am here to encourage everyone to buy store brand products. And this slide I really like because it shows on the left, you have your Hannaford store brand crushed tomatoes. And on the right, you have name brand crushed tomatoes, but they're the same product, right? It's the same size can. They're both cans of crushed tomatoes, but the Hannaford brand is only $1.09, whereas our name brand is almost an entire dollar more. And $1, it might not seem like that much, but if you go through your shopping trip and are consistently choosing the store brand and saving 50 cents or a dollar, it's really going to add up. And a lot of times, store brand products are the exact same product as the name brand, and it's just in different packaging. So that's something to keep in mind, that always choosing store brand, if it's available, can save you a lot of money. And then the last two things, this slide is sort of obvious, but just looking at the price tag when you're buying something. So a lot of times, we're used to buying the products that are familiar to us, and we just grab a box off the shelf, put it in the cart. But sometimes if you take an extra second to just look at the price tag, you might notice that there's a cheaper option that looks just as good. And you can also take a moment to look at the price tag and then look at that orange box that says unit price. And the unit price shows you the price per ounce or per pound. So on this slide, you can see on the left, we have a small container of yogurt. These are those like single serving yogurt containers. And the entire container is 72 cents, but the unit price, which is always on the price tag in that orange box, it is 12 cents per ounce. But then when you look at our larger container of yogurt on the right, it's a 32 ounce container. It's more expensive, of course, because there's more yogurt, but the unit price is less than half. So just by buying a larger amount of yogurt, you're paying a lot less per ounce. So I do like to share, this is a great way to save money, but you also only want to buy the amount of food that you're able to eat. So I always like to think, like when I buy carrots, I eat a lot of carrots, so I can buy the 5-pound bag, and they're cheaper when you buy them in bulk, and I know that I'll eat all of them. But you don't want to buy a 5-pound bag of carrots if you're only going to eat a few and the rest of them go soft in your refrigerator, right? So keep in mind how much of the product you'll actually eat, but a lot of times if you can buy in bulk, you will save some money. And I do just like to share, it's worth it to take a minute and look at that orange box, the unit price. And that's how you know you're getting the best deal. Okay, so that was our very quick and dirty kind of overarching money-saving tips. I'm very quickly going to go through our MyPlate, our nutrition guidelines, and how to read a nutrition facts label. And then we'll get a little bit more into the actual grocery shopping experience. So this is MyPlate. A lot of us know the nutrition guidelines as the food pyramid, but this is kind of the more updated version of the food pyramid. And this is just the USDA guideline for building a healthy food habit. So according to MyPlate, you should eat about half of your foods, fruits and vegetables. About a quarter of your foods should be grains, which we'll talk about more later. A quarter of your foods, protein. And then you see there is a cup of dairy at the top of the plate. Although I also like to share, there is not a cup of water on MyPlate, which really frustrates me because I think everyone should be drinking more water as well. So this is the guideline that I base all of the information I'm giving you off of. So all of the nutrition information I give you is coming from MyPlate, And if you're interested in diving deeper into this topic, you can always go to the website shown on the screen, which is choosemyplate.gov. And it goes into meal planning and how to modify your diet to kind of fit these guidelines a little better. So next, I wanted to show you the nutrition facts label, which, just like I said about looking at the price tag and the unit price in the grocery store, this is another thing that you can take a moment to read at the grocery store. And looking at the nutrition facts label is just a quick way to see what is really in the food product that you're buying. So this first top arrow that has a number one is the serving information. So that shows you how many servings are in the container and then what a serving size is. So if you're looking at a box of pasta, usually a serving size, I believe, is half a cup. But it'll show you how much a serving is. And then all the information below it is based on one serving. So I think we're all familiar with the calorie amount. Shows you how many calories you'll get from one serving. And then below the calorie amount, it shows you all of the different nutrients that are in that product. So depending on what your dietary needs are or your health goals, you might pay attention to different things. If you're trying to lower your saturated fat, you might look here at the total fat and saturated fat. And then you can also look over to the right at the daily value and see how much of your daily value of that nutrient this serving is going to provide to you. And the guideline is that if the daily value is 5% or less, it is low. So again, if you're looking to lower your fat intake, you might be looking for low percentage numbers, like 5% or 3%. And 20% or more is considered high. So again, you can look at fat. I know many people are concerned about excess sodium in their foods, so you can always look at that and look at the percentage amount to really get a feeling of what that means in your day of food. And we will talk a little bit more about added sodium and added sugars. I also like to add, which we'll talk about with our whole grains, it's really great to read the ingredients as well, which I don't have included in this slide. But that's something I always do at the grocery store when I'm buying, let's say you're buying pasta. If you just quickly look at the ingredients, you can double check that there aren't any extra additives or extra fat or sodium that you don't want in your food item that are added. So looking at the ingredients, I also recommend. Okay, so that was very quick. If you have questions about some of those money-saving tips or My Plate and the Nutrition Facts label, feel free to put them in the chat and I can address them towards the end of our talk. But I do want to move into our produce. So the way the rest of this session is going to go, it's sort of formatted as if we're shopping at the grocery store together, and learning how to make the healthiest and most affordable choices. So the first section of the grocery store we're going to talk about is the produce area. And the top thing I want to highlight to people is that, as you saw on our My Plate, produce, fruits, and vegetables should make up about 50% of your food, which that can seem like a lot, but that doesn't all have to be a salad or a head of broccoli, right? There are different ways to eat produce, and all four of these ways are equally nutritious. So whether you're getting fresh produce, dried produce, frozen, or canned produce, all of those forms are equally nutritious. And I really like to stress this because I think a lot of people hear that frozen or canned foods don't have as much nutrients as fresh food, but that really isn't true. And there might be a very, very small loss of nutrients in canned food in particular, but it's so small that it really is not significant. And any form of produce is better than no produce, right? So it is great to get fresh produce, especially as we're coming into summer. Who doesn't love some fresh lettuce or cucumbers or tomatoes? But I really encourage people, you know, buy frozen produce. If that's on sale and that's convenient for you to have in your freezer for a quick meal, that's a great option. As well as canned produce is great to be able to keep in our shelves. I know I've been cooking a lot out of my pantry the past couple weeks because I've been trying to go to the store less. So having canned and frozen things, produce on hand that won't go bad, has really helped me continue to eat fruits and vegetables throughout the day. So our fresh produce, this is a quick slide just to show that different types of produce are available in different seasons, especially here in Maine. We know that in the summer, we have lots of awesome farms around that are shipping their produce to our local stores. And in the winter, there's not as much fresh produce available. And this slide shows you a really cool resource, which I'm going to email out to everyone at the end of our session. And it's called the Maine Produce Season Availability Chart. And I know it looks kind of busy, but once you get it in your email, you'll be able to look at it a little closer. And this chart shows you a whole variety of fruits and vegetables, and when they're available in the store, or when you might be able to get them frozen or canned. And it's just a nice way to visualize when you might be able to get fresh produce in the peak of its season, which is when it's the most delicious and also the cheapest, okay? So if you wanna buy tomatoes in January, they're not gonna taste that great. And they're going to be a lot more expensive because they're being shipped from very far away. But if you can hold on until the middle of summer, maybe August, you will be able to get fresh local tomatoes much cheaper at the grocery store. So that's my little plug for fresh produce is, you know, shopping when something's in season and just trying to be aware of when things are really available. That's going to help you a lot. And I do thank you, Rachel. I see she said, I can't wait to get the copy of this chart, which I will send it out. But it is really useful. So that's our fresh produce. And really quickly, I just want to share when you're looking for dried produce, which this is probably not as commonly bought, but this slide shows the difference between dried cranberries original or the same dried cranberries with 50% less sugar. So dried fruit is great. It still gives you a lot of the same nutrients as fresh fruit. But a lot of times dried fruit is dried and then sugar is added to it, especially to some of these more bitter fruits like cranberries. So I just wanted to show that when you're shopping for dried fruit, if you see two options side by side, and one of them says 50% less sugar or no added sugar, that is a great option to choose so you can cut down on some of that extra sugar in your diet. So dried fruit is a great choice. I know I love to have raisins on hand and even sometimes I buy dried apricots as a snack. So they're great to have on hand. They're very convenient. But just be aware that sometimes dried fruit can have a lot of extra sugar. Oh, and Susan has a question in the chat box that says, what are some of the additives we should be familiar with and avoid besides salt and sugar? And Susan, that's a great question. I'm actually mostly going to focus on salt and sugar because those are the two most common food additives, and they're the ones that we have the best nutrition information about. I think I personally, in general, just try to avoid additives in general. So like I said, reading the ingredient list and just trying to choose an item, if it's still affordable, choose an item that has the least amount of extra ingredients. So if you're buying dried cranberries, try to pick the one that is simply cranberries and doesn't have, you know, 10 other unpronounceable additives at the end. And I'll also share, which I'll talk about this when I get to our canned produce. Sometimes food manufacturers are very sneaky with their additives. So instead of saying that something is the ingredient, instead of saying the ingredients are cranberries and sugar, they might use a different word for sugar. So oftentimes products might say cranberries and sucralose, which is a kind of an artificial sweetener, or dextrose or glucose. So there are a lot of words, especially if they end in O-S-E, which I'll type into the chat box. A lot of times if a word in an ingredient list ends in that O-S-E, that is basically code for some sort of sugar. Okay, so I might be able to chat a little bit more about that at the end, Susan, but I am mostly going to focus on added salts and sugars. Just those are the most commonly added things to processed food. So that is our dried fruit. And I do appreciate Kathy's comment that she says she usually buys the 50% less sugar fruit because you don't really notice the difference in recipes. And that is super true. I always say fruit is naturally sweet, right? So typically we don't need sugar to be added to fruit to make it taste sweet. So that was our dried produce. And I just want to share really quickly what you should look for when you're buying frozen produce. So I'm going to show the ingredient lists of these three products. So you can see our Brussels sprouts, the ingredients are just Brussels sprouts. So that's a great choice. Those were picked at the peak of their ripeness and quickly frozen. You can buy them all year long, keep them in your freezer. Great way to get your produce. You can also see on the right, the bag of whole strawberries. The ingredients are just strawberries. So once again, those strawberries were harvested when they were ripe. They're frozen very quickly, and you can keep them in your freezer as a way to get a serving of fruit, even in the middle of winter when strawberries aren't in season. So like I said, I really like to keep some bags of vegetables and fruit, just whole, plain vegetables and fruit in my freezer. But then you also see down at the left-hand corner, this bag of, it's a, kind of a side dish that's roasted red potatoes and green beans. And then it's a little hard to read, but beneath that it says, with Parmesan olive oil sauce. So you might pick this up thinking, oh great, potatoes, green beans, that sounds great. And I'm not saying it's a bad choice, but it is interesting to look at the ingredients on this one and see how long the ingredient list is. And you are getting a good serving of vegetables with your potatoes and green beans, but you're also getting a lot of a source of fat from the sauce that it comes in. And I had a little time to look through this list before our session. And there's chicken fat, there's a couple different types of dairy, there's corn syrup, there's all sorts of different additives in this kind of innocent looking bag of red potatoes and green beans. So again, I'm not saying it's a bad choice to make, but just it's something to be aware of when you're shopping in the frozen section. to check those ingredients and make sure you're buying what you want to buy. And maybe a way to still get those potatoes and green beans, you could just get plain frozen potatoes and green beans and make your own sauce to eat with them, just to cut down on some of those extra calories and sodium that come in the sauce. And Sandy has a question. What happens if you leave something frozen in the fridge longer than a day accidentally, because you were trying to defrost it? And Sandy, that's a great question. As long as it's still in the fridge, it is safe to eat. The issue would be if you took it out of the freezer and thawed it on your counter and left it out for more than 2 hours. At that point, the food would not be safe. But as long as it's just sitting in your fridge, it should still be safe. And just depending on the item, the texture might have gotten strange, but it's certainly safe to eat, because the fridge does keep things in the safe temperature zone. So that is our frozen produce. And I do want to move on into our canned items. So really quickly, I just want to show these are two cans of Hannaford black beans. On the left is just plain black beans. And on the right, we have a can labeled low sodium. So I wanted to bring this up to show you all that the normal product of black beans has 400 milligrams of sodium, which is 17% of your daily value. Whereas just by choosing the low sodium can, you get 3 times less added sodium or salt just by choosing that low sodium option. So I really like to share that. I think a lot of my messaging in this whole tour comes down to just being a really aware consumer. And, you know, as much as we like to think that food manufacturers are looking out for us, they just really want to sell their products. And it's really our job to pay attention in the store and look for these things like, you know, 50% less sugar or low sodium. So, you should always be looking for the low sodium canned items, especially canned beans and canned vegetables, which you can almost always find right next to the original product. And one thing I also like to share is if you were at the store, you grabbed some cans of black beans, you come home and you realize they're the regular product, they're have a little more salt than you'd like. If you just pour those black beans into a colander or rinse them somehow, you can rinse off most of the extra salt. So don't worry if you're looking in your cabinet after this, you're like, oh man, all my vegetables are the normal amount of sodium. You can always just rinse them off, and that takes care of a lot of it. So that's kind of the good news about added salt in some of your canned products. Okay, so one other canned item is our fruit, which many of us buy canned fruit. And the thing to look out for with your canned fruit is added sugar. So you're probably not gonna have added sodium in your fruit, but I just wanted to show on the left of the screen, we have Hannaford brand fruit cocktail that's canned in heavy syrup. And on the right is fruit cocktail, and it says in 100% juice. So you'll see the fruit cocktail in heavy syrup has 10 grams of added sugar, which, as I said before, fruit is sweet. We don't generally need that heavy syrup to make it taste good. And our fruit cocktail in 100% juice has 0 added sugar. So the fruit cocktail is just packed in its own juice. They didn't add any extra sugar into the mixture. So that's something to be aware of in the canned produce section. When you're shopping for fruit, always look for that 100% juice which I actually have a can here. That's crushed pineapple. I know it's probably backwards for you all, but this is in 100% pineapple juice. So that's what you want to be looking for, is things that are in 100% juice and not in that heavy syrup. Okay, so really quickly, we're getting close to our discussion time, so I'm just going to keep moving through this info. I did just want to share some healthy fruit and vegetable snacks. So I have a list here of some of the least expensive fresh produce, which if you all are interested, I could send this info out in a document to you all because it's a lot to look at right now. But just some ideas of less expensive fresh produce that you could keep on hand. And then other good snack ideas that will help you get some of that fruit and veggie. And I'm seeing from Rachel and Sandy that they would like this information in a document. So I will do that. I'll send that out after our tour. So I'm gonna keep moving. We have a good amount of stuff to get through. This always takes longer than I expect. So quickly, we're gonna talk about grains. And the MyPlate recommendation is to try to make half of your grains whole grains. And I think there's a lot of questions out there about what a whole grain is. So this little graphic shows you words to look for when you're looking for a whole grain. And we're gonna go a little bit more into this, but some words in the ingredient list, once again, can't escape reading the ingredient list. If you look for the word whole in front of any other type of grain, so whole oats or whole wheat, other types of whole grains, I actually have a couple here. We have brown rice rather than white rice. Brown rice is a whole grain. Any kind of oats, whether they're quick oats or rolled oats or steel cut oats, those are all whole grains. And I also just wanted to show our classic whole grain is whole wheat pasta or perhaps whole wheat bread. And the reason that MyPlate encourages us to eat more whole grains is that whole grains have fiber, which helps kind of clean out your digestive system and keep you full. And whole grains also have vitamins and minerals that refined grains do not. So this slide shows you what a whole grain actually is, which I think some of us don't always think about. But a whole grain, the picture on the left, shows a whole grain which has three parts. It has an outer layer called bran, and that's where all of the fiber and some vitamins and minerals are. It has a middle layer called the endosperm, and that's the carbohydrate layer. It has some protein and vitamin, but mostly it's a starchy kind of sugar that gives you energy. And then the last part of a whole grain is the germ. And that is the part of a whole grain that has the most nutrients. So it has a lot of B vitamins, vitamin E, it has some healthy fats that help protect your arteries. So a whole grain has all three of those parts, but a refined grain, so the kind of grain you might eat in white bread or white pasta, through the refining process, the bran and the germ are stripped away, and all you're left with is that middle layer that's your starchy carbohydrate. Okay, so a refined grain, it just lacks that fiber and a lot of the nutrients that a whole grain can give you. So the big question is, how do I know if a product is made with whole grains? And again, you have to read the ingredients label. The number one way to tell if a product is made with whole grains is if the first ingredient contains the word whole and then whatever the type of grain the product is. that should be the first ingredient. Okay, so you can see in this ingredient list, the first ingredient is whole grain wheat flour. And the first ingredient on an ingredient list is what makes up the most of the product, because ingredients are listed in order of weight. So that means if the first ingredient is whole grain wheat flour, whatever, it is a whole grain product, and it's going to give you a lot of that fiber and nutrients that's the reason we like whole grains. So I'm going to show you all a few terms that are misleading, and I think we're just going to do one practice to figure out if something is a whole grain. So like I said, food manufacturers really want to sell their products to us. And a lot of times they use some misleading terms to make us think our grain products are a whole grain. They might not be. So I just like to show, even if something says it's multi-grain or it's 12 grain, or this is my favorite one, made with whole grains, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a whole grain product, because even if it's made with whole grains, if that first ingredient is not a whole grain, it's not a whole grain product. Okay, now I know this can be sort of confusing. It's something that the more you look at ingredient labels and the more you learn, you can recognize it a lot faster. But just the idea that you're looking out for that word, whole grain, as your first ingredient. And you don't need to read any further. You can read the whole grain is your first ingredient. You know you've got a whole grain product. So I'm going to show our next slide. We're just going to do one example. So I'll move through a couple, then I'll stop. Okay. So this is my favorite one. If everyone could take 1 minute to look at the ingredients. Again, you really only need to look at the first ingredient, although you can look further. And tell me in the chat whether you think this multi-grain bread is a whole grain product. And it's okay if you're not sure or you don't want to answer, that's fine. But let me know what you think. Okay. I'm seeing all no's. So, I mean, you guys are geniuses, and clearly I've taught you well in this short amount of time. That's great. So yes, it is not a whole grain product, and I'm going to show you the little blip that I put up with it. So there's a lot of information that this brought up. You all are correct. This is not a whole grain product because the first word is not whole. Actually, the first word is enriched, which, as I shared, when something's enriched, that means a lot of those nutrients were stripped away from the grain. Now, I put this sort of confused smiley face up because there are some whole grains in this bread, and I've underlined them in red if you can see. So a lot farther down the ingredient label, there's listed some of these whole grains that are in the bread. It does contain rye and oats and barley and corn and buckwheat, which are all whole grains. And you can see from this red circle around our dietary fiber on the nutrition facts, it does have some fiber. So I just wanted to share this to show you that although this is not a whole grain product, it does have some fiber, and way far down on the ingredient list, it contains some whole grains, but because they're not high up on the ingredient list, we know that there's very low amounts of those grains. So I don't want to confuse you with this example, but I just like to share that it's not always cut and dry. And even though this is not technically a whole grain product, this bread still has some more nutrients and fiber than like a slice of just plain white Wonder Bread. Okay, so there are products that are kind of in between. Okay, friends, so it is almost 11:50. I'm trying to speed through this so I can answer a couple questions. And I do see a few questions in the chat, and we'll get to them in a minute. Here are some healthy whole grain snack ideas. And a lot of these are like on the more affordable side of our snacking options. And I will do the same with this list that I'll put it into a document for you all to share. Because I don't think it does us a lot of good to just read through them right now. But if you can have it in a list, you might be able to keep it as a resource. So I'll send out our healthy whole grain snack ideas. And we are going to finish very quickly with a trip through the protein area of our grocery store. So the first thing I like to share about protein is that it's a good idea to expand your thoughts about what gives you protein. So I think a lot of us know protein helps us build muscle, it helps you stay full and gives you energy. And we often think of animal sources of protein, like fish or chicken or pork. Also in this picture, you can see eggs and milk and yogurt. So there's lots of different sources of protein that come from animals, but there are also a lot of protein sources that come from plants, which can be cheaper than some of our animal proteins. So things like beans, I know dried beans and canned beans are great sources of protein and very, very inexpensive. Tofu is actually one of my favorite foods and sources of protein. So if you haven't tried tofu, you might give it a try. Nuts, and I always like to share peanut butter, is a great source of protein, as well as seeds, so sunflower seeds or pumpkin seeds. And one other one that's sort of a milk alternate might be soy milk, is a really good source of protein. So thinking about some of the other places you can get protein is a useful way to both make your diet a little more exciting and potentially save some money, because we all know how expensive meat and fish and seafood can be. So when you are at the store and you're shopping, let's say you're shopping for ground beef, one way that you can make a healthier choice is to look for the percentage of lean versus the percentage of fat. So once again, I'm sure you're all tired of hearing it, you have to read the label. So if you can see my red circles, the product on the left is 93% lean and 7% fat. So that's a pretty low amount of fat. And then you compare it to the ground beef on the right, says it is 80% lean and 20% fat. So just by taking a moment to look at those percentages, you can really realize, you know, it's easy to just look for the one with a lower percentage of fat and choose that, and that will lower the amount of fat and saturated fat you're getting from your protein source. I do see a question from Sandy that said, could I email out the protein info? And she is supposed to consume a large amount of protein. Okay, and lactose intolerant, don't eat much meat. Sandy, I am actually like in the same boat as you, and I would be happy to email that out. Thank you. So that's really quickly how to choose a healthier type of meat. And then this slide I will also send out to everyone. This is just really quickly thinking of protein-filled snacks on a budget. And just to pull one out of here, I know one of my favorite snacks, especially since I've been working from home and going out on walks and hiking a lot, is trail mix with nuts. And nuts like peanuts or sunflower seeds are very affordable and they really fill you up and give you a lot of protein. So I will be sure to send out this slide. And then last thing, should take 2 minutes, is our dairy section. So dairy gives us calcium and vitamin D. Some people can't eat dairy or it doesn't agree with their stomach. I am one of those people. So I go for kind of dairy alternatives like soy milk. And you just, if you can't eat dairy, you just have to be aware that you're getting calcium and vitamin D from other sources. Okay, so just very quickly going to share how to choose affordable and healthier dairy options. And then we will get to our question and answer. So really quickly, this is pretty basic, but I do get this question a surprising amount. What is the difference between milks? Okay, so we have the milk on the left. It just says milk, and that's whole milk that has all of the normal fat that comes with milk. And then you might have 2%, 1%, or skim milk. So basically from left to right, you're just looking at the highest amount of fat in the milk or dairy product to the lowest amount. And the MyPlate guideline is to choose low-fat dairy when possible. A lot of us get extra fat in our diet from other sources, from cooking oils and butter and things like that. So we really don't need the extra fat in our dairy products. So generally the recommendation is to drink skim milk, but if you or your family don't like the taste of skim milk, even gradually going from whole milk to 2% can make a really big difference in how much fat and saturated fat you're getting in your diet. So that's kind of the general health guideline with dairy, is to choose low-fat dairy. And then the last thing I like to share is sometimes there is a lot of sugar in dairy food. My favorite example is yogurt, which I have on the screen. So on the left is a container of low-fat yogurt that's plain. And that means, so it's low fat, it's not whole yogurt, low fat. And plain means that nothing has been added to it. No flavorings, no sugar. There's, you can see, zero added sugars. On the right, we have non-fat yogurt. So it doesn't have any fat in it, but it is vanilla flavored, which vanilla sounds pretty, doesn't sound super sweet, but it does have 11 grams of added sugar in it, which is 22% of the amount of added sugar you should have per day at most. So I like to show this just to encourage people, if you love yogurt and you like it a little sweet, one thing I would recommend is to buy the plain yogurt, like the one that's on the left, and mix your own flavorings into it. So you could buy plain yogurt and mix a little honey into it or some fruit, even some jam, something like that. And that way at least you're controlling the amount of sugar you're adding to it and you're not buying something that's already full of sugar. Okay, so that's just something to look out for. I also like to show chocolate milk and often talk about, like, I work in schools a lot, and the amount of chocolate milk that kids drink is sometimes a little frightening because chocolate milk is really chock full of sugar. So this container of chocolate milk has over 5 teaspoons of added sugar in it. So when you think about drinking this entire bottle, is 5 teaspoons of added sugar, it's kind of crazy, and you wouldn't think of that. Right? So just be aware of the added sugar in your dairy foods. And especially when you're picking a drink, I'm going to end on my favorite message. Drink water. So of course it's fine to drink milk or juice from time to time, but I love to encourage people to drink water. Tap water is safe to drink, it's free, and it is the healthiest beverage choice you can make. Okay, so that is kind of my little plug for water. And I do have, there is a slide back one that was some healthy dairy snacks, and I will send that out to everyone. So I'll kind of make a little sheet of all of those snack suggestions and send it out in one document. But that is the end of our session, of my portion of the session. I am sorry, we're very close to noon right now. I'm happy to stick around for a few moments to answer some questions. But if you need to sign off, feel free. I have all of your emails, so I will be following up with all of you tomorrow. I'll send out that produce season availability sheet. I'll send out all of those snack ideas. I will send out some protein info that Sandy requested. I will also send you a link to a survey, which I know I also had to do the waivers. It's a lot of paperwork. But if you could complete this survey, it just helps my organization evaluate how helpful this was. So you also get a survey link. And finally, in my email, I will ask you for your mailing address. And I'm hoping to get your Hannaford gift card, $10 Hannaford gift card, and your booklet, which looks like this. I will get those all out in the mail. Basically, as soon as you get me your mailing address, I can put it in the mail. So you'll get that sent out to you. And last little item is my wonderful coworker, Jada, is teaching a more involved nutrition education class that it will include 4 pre-recorded videos, as well as some live question and answer sessions. So I will send you in the email, I'll include a little link if you're interested in her nutrition education class. You could contact her just if you thought today's info was interesting and you want to dive deeper. She's going to provide one of those classes this coming month. So thank you all so much. Again, feel free to hop off the line, but I can stick around for about 5 or 10 minutes and answer some questions. I am just going to address, Sandy asked, will there be other Zooms in the future? I would like to be a part of those as well. So like I said, Jada will be doing some pre-recorded videos, and I will send you all the link if you want to register. She would be thrilled to have some more registrations. And if I do future events, especially with the library, I'll keep you all on a list and I will make sure to email you and let you know. And I will unmute everyone at this point. If I can figure out how. And that way, if you have a question, it might be a little easier to answer.
She's going to a large Halloween party on October 25th and she never returned home.
Okay. I actually remuted you just because there was some talking in the background, which is fine. So how about if you have a question, could you ask it in the chat box? And thank you so much from all of you for saying thank you, and this was awesome. This is the first time I've done a session like this, so I was a little nervous to see how it would go. But hopefully sometime in the future, we could all have nutrition education together and have some more hands-on cooking. And I can answer, Beverly asked, what about almond milk or oat milk? Which, Beverly, great question. Typically almond milk and oat milk are both enriched with calcium and vitamin D, as well as some B vitamins. So those are also great options. If you can't tolerate dairy. And Susan says, it would be great to have a healthy recipe presentation on snacks. That is very true, Susan. That's a good idea. Excellent. And I do have a question from Sandy. had a couple from her. Sandy, I see your question about a bread maker and flour. And if I find a good homemade bread recipe, I'll send it along to you. Although I don't have any kind of on hand. But that is a great question. You might just want to research on the internet, like whole wheat bread recipes. Okay. So folks, I'll stick around for 2 more minutes. So any questions you have, put them in the chat. And again, if you have to get going, feel free.
Hey, I just wanted to say thank you, Nicole. And obviously we'll take the questions as they come in the next couple of minutes, but that was wonderful. You did a great job. And we'd love to talk about future programs if you guys are available. And we'd be interested to hear about Jada's program too, so we can help promote that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she's doing some pre-recorded videos, but then might do like a question and answer session, which while I was doing that, I was thinking like that could be a fun thing to do just once a week, like ask a nutrition educator and just like have kind of an open forum. Could be kind of fun.
Yeah, I was also wondering, and I don't know how this fits into your SnapEd presentation format, but I've been thinking a lot about canning and preserving. Like you were saying in the presentation about how we have such a bounty of fresh fruits and vegetables in the summer, mm-hmm. but then thinking ahead to fall, like maybe if I could get ahead of it somehow or use some of the extra that we can buy in the summer, would that ever be something you could speak to or...
I'm not specifically, I freeze things. I don't typically do, well, I know how to can, but I don't know that I'm like qualified to teach that because that is like there's a lot of food safety stuff. But Abby, I can send you a link. The Cooperative Extension is actually doing Zoom classes. I think they're about twice a month, all about preserving fruits and vegetables, like all through the summer. I just got an email from them this morning about it.
Oh yeah, that would be great. I could share that information out on the library page as well.
No problem.
And Sandy just mentioned if you could send the freezing information in your email as well so everyone could have it, that would be great.
Absolutely, no problem. Yeah, Cooperative Extension is doing a lot of really cool programs over Zoom. I've only joined in on one that was more of like a discussion chat about school gardens, but they're doing a lot of cool stuff trying to help people like get gardens going and preserve food, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, I've seen the gardening programs. I haven't been able to attend, but it seems like they have a lot of great things going.
Definitely. Yeah, actually, one of the upcoming like food preservation seminars is all about preserving fiddleheads, which I recently got like a couple pounds of fiddleheads. I was like, oh, that would be useful.
Nice. Yeah, we just did a Fiddleheads 101 presentation with Dave Fuller from the Cooperative Extension. I don't think he's in Hancock County, but it's the same organization.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think it seems like folks have headed out for the most part and questions have died down. So I'm going to stop the video. There we go. And then